So, if you're growing up in a home that is critical and fault-finding, it's easy to believe that I'm not good enough or there's something wrong with me. You can have a fear of failure, a fear of success, lots of different things. If you grew up in a home that's abusive, you grew up with thinking, I'm worthless, I'm damaged. There's a lot of self-hatred. If you believe you're unlovable, just think how that, just that lie, that I'm unlovable, how that affects every relationship you have. If you believe that you're truly unlovable, then God can't really love me. No matter what anyone else does to try and show love to me, I don't believe it. And then how on earth am I supposed to be able to communicate love to others? I end up going after all kinds of things to tell me that I'm lovable, but deep down inside, I will never, ever believe it because deep down, I've bought into the lie that I am unlovable. And so, if you've heard from the time you were little that you were deeply loved, that your mistakes can be forgiven, think of the difference that that makes. As you grow up, that's what you believe, that you are lovable. So you find love in places. You find forgiveness. You find it easier to give. Now, how many people live with just even the I suck message? It's just kind of niggling there, right? So, what if you deeply believed that that wasn't true? What if something else was true? What if you are a child of God who is fearfully and wonderfully made with gifts and abilities and talents that He has given you? What if that's true? Well, that is true. Now, because we see ourselves reflected through those closest to us, that is the reason why we need our relationship with God to be our closest relationship. We need what He says about us to be bigger, to be stronger, to be louder than any other voice out there. Now, last week, Darcy talked about we're the apple of God's eye. So, to illustrate that, Luke, you can come up here. What it means to be the apple of somebody's eye is that your image fills their eyes. You fill their eye. You become the center of their attention. Now, we practiced this earlier. So, now, Luke, start coming close to me and tell me when you can see yourself reflected in my eyes. That's the meaning of you're the apple of my eye. Okay. There. Right there. And you know what? I can see myself in your eyes too. That's the picture that the Father has for us. That's what He means. Thank you. You can sit down now. That's the closeness. And isn't that a beautiful picture? That's what He wants with us. That intimacy, that closeness, that where we're not only seeing ourselves in His eyes, He's seeing Himself in us, in our eyes. It's a wonderful, beautiful relational connection that we all deeply, deeply long for. We all deeply want to be loved for who we are, and we can look for it everywhere else. But when we find it in our Father, in our Creator, in the One who made us, and we hear His affirmations, suddenly there's the peace deep down inside despite chaos. You've got a way of dealing with anxiety. There's a way of handling the pressures and the stressors that are normal. You've got somewhere to turn. You've got something to combat the lies that constantly bombard our minds. And so as we watch this video, think about the core lie that your Heavenly Father wants to tell you the truth about. What have you believed for a very long time that He is saying, I have something else for you to believe? Believe this instead. All right, so we're going to, it's called A Snoodle's Tale.
Now, A Snoodle's Tale. Far, far away in the land of galoots, where the bigglebag trees bear their bigglebag fruits, and far lily bushes all blossom in yellow, and thimbuttle plants squirt snooberry jello. Here, where the mountains of Rocky Magoo rise high o'er the meadows of Gilda Manju, where sunsets are painted with purple and blue, you'll find a small town, not much bigger than you. Welcome to Snoodleburg, home of the Snoodles, a curious folk who eat pancakes with noodles and spend half their days making sketches and doodles and cutting their hair into shapes like French poodles. Now, right in the heart of this curious town is a curious building, the tallest around. With a clock at its top and a chute at its bottom, 'tis pink in the spring and turns red in the autumn. But weirder by far than its color or height is what happens there every fourth Tuesday night. As strange as it seems, it has been demonstrated that snoodles aren't born, but rather created. Every fourth Tuesday at 9:15, the tower will shimmy and rattle and whine, and as the town nibbles on bigglebag fruit, a shiny young snoodle will drop from the chute. That's where they come from, though no one knows why, nor who could have built the great tower so high. These mysteries of life befuddle most snoodles, who'd much rather focus on pancakes and noodles and cutting their hair into shapes like French poodles. Yes, most found the tower too noisy and strange, until one small snoodle made all of that change. This little snoodle was much like the others. He came without siblings, no sisters or brothers. He came without money, a mom or a dad. The pack on his back was all that he had.
This is peculiar,
the little guy said.
I came from a chute and I fell on my head? What do I look like? What am I for?
He pondered those questions and then thought of more.
Checking my bag is a good place to start.
He pulled out some paints.
Maybe I'm good at art.
The next thing he found was a snoodle kazoo.
Hey, what do you know? I can make music too.
Then back on his pack, he pulled a small string, and out from the sides popped two little wings.
Amazing!
He said with a gleam in his eye.
I can paint, play kazoo, and now I can fly. Wait till the others see all the great things I can do with my paints, my kazoo, and my wings.
So he packed up his paints and his snoodle kazoo, and he hopped off to show them all what he could do. There from the top of a short stubby wall, the big snoodles heard the new small snoodle call.
Come watch me, you guys, as I head for the sky.
He straightened his wings with a gleam in his eye. Then he jumped and he flapped like the red snootered finches that fly from the plains to the peak of Mount Ginches. His flight, unlike theirs, covered only 12 inches.
You call that flying?
You think you're a bird? We've never seen anything quite so absurd.
The old snoodle snorted. He sniggered. He shook.
I'll paint you a picture to show how you looked.
The brushstrokes were skillful. The colors were coolish. The story they told made the young one feel foolish.
Take it from us,
said a snoodle named Lou.
Flying just isn't what you're meant to do.
The young snoodle drooped. He felt his heart sag. The painting the old snoodle placed in his bag.
Carry this with you,
the old snoodle said.
So visions of flying don't go to your head.
The weight on his back was as heavy as lead. So under the weight of the picture he bore, he hobbled along feeling lonely and sore. Till up far ahead on a bench near the tower, he spied a bright bundle of far lily flowers. His heart started lifting.
what beautiful things.
Then he remembered,
I've got more than wings.
So quickly, he dug the paints out of his pack and hoped that with art, maybe he'd have the knack.
I did it!
He yelled to the snoodles in town, then held up his picture as they gathered round.
You did it all right,
said the snoodles, replying.
You showed you're no better at painting than flying.
Then one of them laughed, and while eating a waffle, painted a picture that made him feel awful.
You're puny.
You're silly.
You're not all that smart. You can't use your wings, and you're no good at art.
That picture, too, was placed in his pack and made his heart slump just as low as his back.
I'm ugly. I'm foolish and so very small. I don't think I should be with Snoodles at all.
And so he decided to get out of town. His wings hung so low that they dragged on the ground. He walked past the tower and out of the city. He walked through the fields and thought,
My, this is pretty. The far lily bushes all blooming in yellow, and thimbiddle plants squirting snowberry jello. I might like it here,
said the small snoodle fellow. Then feeling some warmth coming back to his chest, he thought he would sit for a moment and rest. But try as he might to sit down with grace, the weight on his back knocked him flat on his face.
That's a hoot,
said a voice from behind. A farmer stood up with a thimbuddle vine.
Why, you need a picture, my Snoodleberg bud, lest you forget how you look in the mud.
And so in an instant, the picture was done and placed in his backpack, which now weighed a ton. The poor Snoodle struggled. He wobbled. He groaned. He stood to his feet and he said with a moan,
Is there anywhere I can be truly alone?
Just then overhead flew two red-snooted finches, winging their way toward the peak of Mount Ginches.
I see,
said the Snoodle.
Then that's what I'll do. The home for those finches will be my home, too.
So painfully, struggling under his pack, the small Snoodle inched up the big mountain's back. He crawled over boulders in rain and in lightning. He trudged on and on, though the journey was frightening. Till finally on Sunday, at 2:15, he spied all the meadows of Gildemanjoo and realized he was on top of Mount Ginches, alone with the wind and his thoughts and the finches. He thought of the Snoodles. He thought of the tower. He thought of the bell that would chime on the hour. He thought of his pack and his very long walk. He thought it so loudly, he heard his thoughts talk.
Hello,
said his thoughts.
You've made quite a climb.
That voice,
he remarked,
doesn't sound much like mine.
Then he turned and he noticed he wasn't alone, for a man stood behind, near a cave in the stone. He looked like a Snoodle, though quite a bit bigger.
Maybe a giant,
the small Snoodle figured.
I'm going,
the Snoodle boy said with a huff.
And don't paint a picture, I've got quite enough.
But first, come inside,
the man said.
Have some tea. I'm so very pleased that you're visiting me.
The Snoodle boy stopped, though he'd only gone inches, and stared at the stranger he'd found on Mount Ginches. He didn't seem angry. In fact, he looked kind. The poor little boy was confused.
Are you blind? I'm puny. I'm silly. I'm not all that smart. I can't use my wings, and I'm no good at art.
The stranger leaned down with a pain in his heart.
Who told you these things?
He asked.
How do you know?
These pictures I have in my pack tell me so.
The small Snoodle sniffled and started to go.
First, if you please, let me look at this art that makes your pack heavy and weighs down your heart.
Then, picture by picture, he unpacked the bag that bent the poor Snoodle and made his wings sag.
Dear boy,
said the man,
these look nothing like you.
Then into the fire the pictures he threw. He rose from his chair, saying,
"Wait there, you'll see that what you need most is a picture from me."
The snoodle sat patiently, sipping his tea. Then from a room in the back he returned and said,
"Dear little snoodle, it's time that you learned what you really look like."
And he threw off the sheet, and what the boy saw warmed him right to his feet. The boy in the portrait looked older and strong, with wings on his back that were sturdy and long, and a look in his eye both courageous and free.
"Sir?"
asked the boy.
"Are you saying that's me? I'd like to believe it, but sir, I'm afraid to."
"But I know who you are,"
the man said,
"for I made you. I built the tower and set it in motion. I planted the meadow, put fish in the ocean, and I feed the finches, though most snoodles doubt it. Not one of them falls that I don't know about it. I've seen you fall down in the mud and the goo. I've seen all you've done and all you will do. I gave you your pack and your paints and your wings. I chose them for you. They're your special things. The snoodle kazoo is so you can sing about colors in autumn or flowers in spring. I gave you your brushes in hopes that you'd see how using them you could make pictures for me. Most of the snoodles,"
the old one said sadly,
"just use their paints to make others feel badly."
The young snoodle pondered the things he'd been told, then wondering something, grew suddenly bold.
"But sir, if you made this incredible land, can't you make snoodles obey your command?"
The big one smiled warmly, then said to the small,
"A gift that's demanded is no gift at all."
With that, the small snoodle reached into his pack and pulled out the picture he'd made 10 miles back.
"They're far lilies, sir, from over the bridge."
The old one beamed bright and said,
"That's for my fridge."
After the small snoodle's picture was hung, the old one bent down to the face of the young. He said,
"Here's what you look like. Here's how I see you. Keep this in your pack and you'll find it will free you from all of the pictures and all of the lies that others made up just to cut down your size. And lastly, your wings. You know what they're for. But not just to fly, son. I want you to soar."
"But, sir,"
said the snoodle,
"how can I fly? This picture's so big, I won't get very high."
"But this picture's special. It's bigger, it's brighter. Carry it close, and I think you'll feel lighter."
As soon as he heard it, the snoodle looked down and noticed that he was an inch off the ground. He laughed and he leaped and he flew from the cave, feeling now older and stronger and brave. And he flew through the clouds and he flew with the finches. He soared up and down round the peak of Mount Ginches. He flew over farlily bushes in yellow and thimbuttle plants squirting snooberry jello. He flew over bigglebag trees and their fruits in big lazy loops or the land of galoots. Then hurried back home to the center of town where the snoodles all stood with their wings on the ground. And starting precisely at 2:15, he told them the story that I just told you.
Bob, did you make that story up yourself?
Well, I...
That was great. You would have fit in great at camp.
Well, I did go to overused literary emulation camp last summer.
Oh, yeah. That's right across the road. There was something about that story, though, that made me want to eat green ham.
Well, I, anyway, we're over here by Qwerty to talk about what we learned today.
And so what we have learned applies to our lives today. God has a lot to say in his book.
And eggs. Eggs, too.
What?
See, we know that God's word is for everyone. Now that our song is done, we'll take a look.
You see, the little snoodle got weighed down by the pictures of him the others were painting. Just like the names people call us make us feel terrible. But just like the snoodles, we have a creator. God made us. And when we know what he thinks of us and how he sees us, it doesn't matter what anyone else says.
Cordy, can you tell us what the Bible says about us? I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14.
So Chester, the kids at school can only see the way you look right now. But God sees you the way you're meant to be. You're stronger, smarter, and braver than you think. And God has given you amazing gifts. You can use your gifts to make the people around you feel better and to do things for God that'll end up on his fridge.
Isn't that good?